welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, bringing you an hour of mystery. Later on, it's yours truly, Johnny Deller, but right now, an episode of Let George Do It, starring Bob Bailey, on the Mutual Broadcasting System from May 3rd, 1948.
Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West, invite you to Let George Do It. Another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice. Danger is my stock and trade. If you're up against something over your head and need help that's strictly confidential, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Mr. Valentine, let's see if you're as good as your ad says. I am up against something that's over my head. A river. The river my company's trying to push a tunnel under. But we're getting nowhere fast. And I hate to think what the reason might be. If you figure you can help...
If you figure you can be of help, I assure you we won't haggle about price. It's signed, William Kane, President.
Kane and Bowers Tunnel Construction, huh?
Now, I wonder where I could find a diving suit with the new look.
Now, seriously, Brooksy, you must mean the West End Tunnel, the one they're having all the trouble with breakthroughs and cave-ins.
I could drop in at the Globe Department Store.
Okay, Angel, okay. But this seems like a job for an engineer, not for me.
Well, there's still no harm in talking to the nice man who insists he's not going to haggle about price.
Well, as long as you insist on being mercenary, let's get going.
Valentine, you don't know how much it means to a former sand hog like me to wind up building his own tunnel.
I think I can imagine, Mr. Kane.
It's like a kid with a chemistry set suddenly finding out he's discovered the atomic bomb.
I realize this tunnel project's a pretty big thing, and you've had more than your share of hard luck.
Yeah, way more than my share.
What did you mean in your letter that you hate to think what the reason for these accidents might be?
Well?
I suppose I gotta tell you.
Oh, now look, Kane, if it comes that hard, maybe you want this letter back so we can forget the whole thing.
No, no, it's just that it's tough putting it into words.
Yeah?
Yeah. Me and my partner, Jim Bowers, we drove tunnel all over the world. Started as muckers, shoveling mud and slime. Got to be miners together, using dynamite and drills when you didn't even know what was going to happen next under the river. You'd think you'd get to know a guy after going through all that with him.
Well, let's be blunt and put it this way, Kane. You suspect your partner, Bowers, is holding up the works here, is that it?
Yeah, but I gotta be sure.
What makes you suspect him at all?
I found out that the company we outbid to get this job made Jim a big offer to come with them.
But if he's a partner here, what's the percentage for him in a deal like that?
Well, Jim's always resented that I'm better suited to run the front office up here while he has to work with the men.
Oh, I get it.
So if he could botch up this job, and we lost it to the Cameron Construction Company, they'd take him in there as a big shot.
Well, you certainly must have talked this over with Mr. Bowers.
Yeah, I did, miss. And he said that he turned the Cameron offer down flat. But how can I be sure? Now all these accidents.
With Bowers always on the spot to make them happen, if that's what he wanted.
Frankly, Valentine, I don't even know how you can help me. Sand hogs are a clannish crowd. You can't go wandering around down that tunnel, snooping around.
Well, Mr. Kane, suppose you let me give it some thought.
George.
Yeah, Brooksy.
How'd you like to buy a for instance?
Okay, Brooksy, I'll buy.
Well, for instance, if you were a reporter and I were a photographer, we could be doing a story for a national magazine. That would get us down into the tunnel to snoop.
Say, that might be an idea, that. Then you could look around. I'll tell Sanders to expect
you. Oh, now, wait a minute. Hey, look, Brooksy, that's a good for instance, all right. But this business of we...
Of course I meant we. Why do you think I came up with the idea?
Okay, okay, you arrange it, Kane. I think we're going to take a crack at it.
Just how far down does this elevator go, Mr. Sanders?
About 30 feet, miss.
Oh, well, that's not too bad, is it, George?
Oh, no, no. No, that part of it's all right. I'm thinking of what happens later.
What are you so smug about? What do you know that I don't know?
Hey, you want to tell the lady what happens next, mister?
Well, miss, it's getting into the tunnel that you've got to worry about.
Huh?
There'll be about 40 pounds of pressure per square inch on you down there. That's why if we get to the bottom, you still got to sit a half hour in the manlock.
Manlock? What's that?
It's kind of a sealed-up room, miss. We keep shooting pressure into that while you just sit. That's so it ain't so bad for you when you get into tunnel. Get it?
I got it.
To put it more concisely, my sweet, unless they're very, very careful, the pressure of the river would come down on you and flatten you out like a jellyfish.
Oh, lovely thought.
Well, here we are. Hey, Charlie, come here. We got visitors. A reporter and a young lady to take pictures.
Oh, visitors, huh?
Yeah, it's okay. Mr. Kane knows about it.
In that case, I'd better sit in the lock with them.
Yeah, you better warn the boys to put their shirts on, Charlie. Ladies' day.
Right here, folks.
Okay.
All right, step in.
Thank you.
Hey, looks like a bank vault.
Yeah, almost. Important thing is to seal it airtight. You'll see what I mean when I close this door.
George, what's that?
Huh?
That's the air from the tunnel coming in through this valve, lady. When the pressure in here is the same as it is out there, that big door opens by itself. Then you're ready to go under the river.
Hmm. Won't you sit down, Miss Brooks?
Yeah, it usually takes about a half hour.
Oh.
Just about a minute more now.
You all right, Brooksy?
Oh, I'm just swell. But my ears...
It's even worse coming out. You're in too much of a hurry. That's when you can get the chokes and the bends.
Nothing like having things to look forward to.
You'll have to put these little metal tags around your neck.
Huh?
What are these, Charlie?
All sandhogs wear them. It's in case you're found staggering around. Tells the cops not to throw you in with the drunks, but to rush you back here to this decompression chamber. If they don't waste much time, you'll probably live.
Oh, goody.
Hey, you sound like an old sandhog yourself, Charlie. You can't stay away from tunnels, huh?
Old Mr. Valentine? I'm just like Jack Benny. I'm still 38. I was the same age when I helped build the Holland Tunnel back east. Just got out here a few months ago. Well, that's that. There goes the door. It's okay for you to go into the tunnel now.
All right. Come on, Brooksy.
It's like the inside of a furnace in here.
But there's all this nice water to slush through.
Oh, golly.
That ought to help keep cool things off.
George.
Hey, you can still put your bank in there with Charlie.
Oh, no. I was just thinking of my nylons. Let's go.
Okay, everybody, clear. We're blasting!
Blasting, George!
Go ahead, Hagen!
All right, let her go!
Well, that'll do it. Now we can go up to the other... Hey, where'd you two come from?
You, Bowers?
Yeah, what are you doing down here? And with a girl to bring me more trouble.
Trouble?
Look, Mr. Kane said it was all right for me to do a story about the tunnel. The young lady is here to take the pictures.
Story? That old Kane's got to think of up there. I'd like to go up and tell him a few things.
Powers! Hey, what's wrong? Powers,
yeah.
Got a breakthrough at the tunnel head.
What?
Yes. Bad this time. The scaffolding came down with a lot of guys on it.
Scaffolding can come down on every job.
Young Davis is down there, caught under all that rock and sand. We got to get him out.
I'll get the ambulance, Hagen. But you get back there. Patch up that break. Go on.
Davis wouldn't be there now, Bars. If you sent that gang up tunnel far enough when the blast come off...
Look, Sandhog, don't tell me how to build a tunnel.
I'll tell you anything I want.
Okay, if you want to play tough. Pick yourself up and do what I said. Okay, reporter, there's a story. How we lost another day.
Yeah, what about the man you just lost?
This is one accident they won't blame on me. A woman in the tunnel's the worst jinx there is. Kane knows that. And I got a phone upstairs for an ambulance.
Well, I see the two partners are working late tonight. That's good.
Oh, Valentine.
To get a good story out of that accident today?
Now, look, let's stop kidding each other. You know I'm not a reporter, Bowers.
I wasn't born yesterday. I know Kane had you checking on me.
Why shouldn't I? You know we can't go on much longer this way, and you're in charge. A little bribe from the Cameron Company, and you...
Another crack like that, and I'll
fix you. Okay, break it up, boys. Break it up. Let me do some talking. What I have to say will be short and to the point.
Yeah.
I did some checking today. Bowers isn't the only one who might profit by these accidents. You could, too, Kane.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Let's hear some more.
I had a talk with the city engineer. He said he doesn't know how you can do this job on the bid you put in.
I admit I was figuring close to the line, but we would have made it if things went right.
So the boy in the stiff shirt comes up with another bad deal, huh?
And, Kane, you had the foresight to take out insurance to protect you in case you went broke building this tunnel.
Well, that's a natural precaution.
Oh, yeah. But it was a personal insurance policy, taken out in your name. Not for the firm.
What's that?
Jim, I know how you've been spending money, so I paid the premiums, but I was only thinking of the company.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, Kane. The insurance company would pay off if none of these accidents could be traced to you, and you'd be saved from a ruinous bid.
Yeah, but that's how it might
look. Look, gentlemen, look. If there's one thing I don't like, it's to be kidded along. Now, do you still want me to find out what's behind those accidents?
I have nothing to fear, Valentine. That's why I hired you.
I know I'm clean. Go right ahead, Valentine.
Okay. Okay, if you're sure that's what you want.
Of course.
You heard what I said.
Yeah, but just remember, if I dredge up something from the bottom of that river that you don't like, you're the guys who ordered it.
And now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine and a million-dollar tunnel burrowing deep under a riverbed, a series of unexplained accidents that stopped the job cold. Why? That's the answer George has to supply. But so far, all he's learned is the rather startling fact that both partners in the contracting firm of Kane and Bowers have their own good reasons for wanting to see the tunnel left unfinished. Right now, George and Claire have just entered Hogan's Hogpen hangout of the Sandhogs, where Big Bill Kane is talking to his workers.
I know we've been falling behind down in the tunnel, but you know Jim Bowers and me were Sandhogs ourselves. We can lick this job. And I've even hired Valentine here to make sure about them accidents. Now, here's an offer. You make up for lost time, and I pay time and a half to every man from then on.
I could swallow that better, Brooksy, if I didn't know about that insurance policy Kane took out.
Yeah.
Now, look, boys. That offer my partner just made you suits me, too. Just wanted you to know.
I could swallow that easier if I didn't know about the offer Bowers got from that other construction company.
Well, I don't know about you boys, but I still have my doubts.
Oh, it's our cheerful old friend from the Manlock.
Don't get me wrong, Mr. Kane. I like making extra money. But when a job like this gets off on the wrong foot, it never straightens out.
All right, Charlie, you're just getting the jitters.
All right, go on and laugh. But I wouldn't be surprised that if we pushed that tunnel another 50 yards... we'd run into a ledge of gravel and hard pan. Boulders will never get past. Just more trouble.
Now, what we want to know from you boys is, are you with us or not? Huh? Oh, fine. That's all we want to hear. The drinks are on Kane and Bowers. Go and get it.
Come on, Brooksy.
Where are we going, George?
Just riding a hunch. We've got to be someplace before 5 o'clock.
I wish you'd hurry, Mr. Valentine. You know the Bureau of Harbors and Waterways closes at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, sure. Be through in a minute. Yeah, I think I found the map I wanted.
Topographical Survey, Riverbed, Section B, Oleander through Perry Street.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's just where the tunnel is being built, George.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Yeah, and this would be around Pier 19.
What are you talking about?
I'm not quite sure, Brooksy. But we're going to ride that hunch a little harder. Hey, you the watchman on this pier, Pop?
Yep, been here for the last 15 years.
Huh? Hey, would you tell me something?
Yeah?
Those white bubbles coming up there in the river.
Yeah, that's where they're working on a new tunnel, son. That's as far as they got in all these months.
Yes, we read they're having a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they keep working day and night, too. Can always tell by the position of that trawler out there just where they're working.
You don't say?
Yep. She's there every night, too. Sort of keeps right ahead of the tunnel. I can tell that by the bubbles that come up out of the water.
I wonder what the trawler has to do with the tunnel.
Yeah, I don't know. Man goes over the side in a diving suit every night. Suppose that's got something to do with the tunneling job, though. Probably he's kind of a traffic cop down there. Clears out the fish so that they can go ahead.
Traffic cop, huh? Hey, Pop, you've been a great help. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now where, George?
Angel, what do you say I hire a motorboat and we take a nice romantic ride on the river?
Okay, George, I agree with you. A trawler on top of the river has nothing to do with the building of a tunnel under the river.
Then, Brooksy, why is it here every night, always just ahead of the shield of the tunnel? Now, that's more than a coincidence.
There it is, up ahead. What are we going to say to whoever's aboard? May we drop up for a cup of old-fashioned clam chowder?
If you don't mind, young lady, I'll do the talking.
As always.
Hey, up there. Hey, can we come aboard?
Anybody home?
No, and get away from here.
Well, the truth is we ran out of gas.
Can you hear me? I said get on your way.
Well, surely you can spare enough gasoline just...
I say you didn't understand what I said.
George!
Hey, what are you trying to do?
Next time I won't miss. I'll get away from here and spare one.
George, what's going on around here?
Look, Brooksy, I caught the name on that trawler. It's the Martha M. Tomorrow morning, first thing, check on the registry. See who owns her. Then pick me up at the tunnel.
You were down in the tunnel early this morning, Mr. Valentine.
I had to look around, Charlie. How long have I been sitting here in the manlock?
Oh, just about 15 minutes.
Seems like I just got in here. And Charlie, I don't feel so good.
You'll be okay. You're an old hand at this now. You've been up and down here a couple of times.
But it seems like I got hammers in my head beating away. And you look like six guys lined up 6 miles away.
You'll be okay when you get some fresh air.
Hey, look, officer. I know where I want to go. Help me, will you?
Yeah, you need a lot of help, mister. I've been watching you weaving down the block.
I'm very sick. I feel run.
I wonder why.
I think I got the bends.
Yes, and you've been bending over the bar too much.
Hey, take me back, officer. The tunnel.
There's only one place I'm taking you, to jail, so you can sleep it off. Come along with you now.
Mr. Kane, Mr. Bowers, I know Mr. Valentine was here at the tunnel this morning.
Okay, but what are you so excited about, Miss Brooks?
He was supposed to meet me at the shaft, and he never would have gone without leaving some kind of message.
I wouldn't worry about Valentine.
I found out what he wanted to know, and he was waiting for that information.
Information about the tunnel?
What kind of information?
I'll let Mr. Valentine tell you. Do you mind if I use your phone?
No, but right ahead.
Hello? Police headquarters? Let me talk to Lieutenant Riley. Okay, I'll wait.
Look, we hired your boss so we could keep this thing confidential.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's forget about ethics, boys. The man who's among the missing is someone I happen to care a lot about. Hello? Oh, Lieutenant Riley, this is Brooksy. Oh, I need your help. I can't find George. Oh, look, Lieutenant, will you check the jails and the hospitals and see what you can come up with? Oh, believe me, Lieutenant, I know what I'm talking about.
We
We traced him down for you, lady, but you're not taking him out of here.
Okay.
Brooksy, my head.
Oh, take it easy, darling.
Best thing is to let him sleep it off.
Can't you see this man is sick?
Oh.
He's got the chokes, the bends. We've got to get him back to that decompression chamber at the tunnel.
Hmm? What are you talking about?
Oh, I'll show you. Wait a minute. Look, this tag here around his neck.
I can't breathe.
Oh, so they took it off him. Well, here, they gave me one, too. Here, read it.
Yeah. This man is a sand hog.
Brooksy.
Decompression chamber. Rush.
Yeah.
Okay, lady, you win. And I hope we make it.
Hello, Angel.
Oh, darling, I thought you'd never open your eyes.
Hey, why doesn't somebody turn that radiator off? It's hissing.
We're back in the manlock, George. That's why you're feeling so much better.
Oh, Ava, what happened?
Well, you were down in the tunnel this morning, and you must have come up too quickly. That's why they picked you up in the street wandering around.
Oh, yeah, I remember coming up. Then everything's suddenly going blank.
I got all the dope on that trawler, the Martha M.
Yeah?
Well, it has nothing at all to do with the tunnel. It's registered in the name of C.W. Egan and his wife, Martha M. Egan.
Oh, yeah, and the Egans were out fishing. C.W. in a diving suit and Martha M. with a rifle instead of a rod and reel.
Mm. George, there's something else.
No, there couldn't be.
There was another accident in the tunnel.
Oh, what kind of accident?
I don't know.
Let me get over to that phone on the wall, Brooksy. I want to talk to Kane.
Okay, George.
Hello, hello.
Yeah? Hello?
Bill Kane?
Yeah.
This is Valentine, Kane.
Yeah, Valentine. We're having a lot of trouble. You okay?
Oh, sure, just dandy.
Heard you had a narrow escape.
Well, what kind of accident was it now?
The whole tunnel nearly got flooded.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a good thing the new ship wasn't in yet. Poor Charlie, the lock tender, got killed.
Charlie?
Nobody will ever know why he was down at the tunnel face with a drill, but when we found him, he was over his head in a mud pile.
I see.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's the end of old Charlie Egan.
Egan?
George, what is it?
Sure, you know Charlie.
Egan. So that's the answer.
What's that, Valentine?
Look, Kane, get Bowers and wait for me in your office. First, I'm going to see a lady about a boat. Then I got something to say to you.
Valentine, you don't know what you're saying.
Just the same, gentlemen. It was Charlie Egan who was responsible for all the trouble here at the tunnel.
That doesn't make sense. He was just a lock tender.
He gave him the job more out of pity than anything else.
Okay. Then listen to this. Do you remember what Charlie said at the hog pen?
Not particularly.
He said if the tunnel went another 50 yards, it would run into a ledge of gravel, hard pan, and boulders.
Well?
Well, the map of the Bureau of Harbors and Waterways didn't show it. But Charlie knew exactly what he was talking about.
How would he know that?
That's funny.
I asked myself those same questions. How would an ordinary sandhog just in from Chicago know the exact topography of the riverbed?
Yeah.
He suspected I was getting wise and saw to it that I got a good case of the bends this morning. Just to make sure I was a dead duck, he took that tag from around my neck.
Yeah, but why? Was he crazy?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Now, I didn't want to believe the reason myself when I found out. I talked to Mrs. Egan. She's the lady on the boat. Now, she's in the outer office right now. Suppose we have her in and see if it's any easier for you to believe her story.
Anything you say, Valentine.
Okay. Will you come in, please, Mrs. Egan?
All right.
I want you to repeat just what you told me.
Well, what shall I tell them? The two people wasted their lives looking for a will-o'-the-wisp, a treasure you were always going to find the next day.
Treasure?
Yes. Sensible people don't believe in buried treasure. And sunken ships bulging with gold, but Charlie did.
Now, wait a minute.
He was the eccentric C.W. Egan, who spent a fortune and 20 years of his life looking for ships that had sunk with treasure aboard.
And fantastic as it may seem, gentlemen, he found one. Didn't he, Mrs. Egan?
Just a couple of months ago. He went down into the river every night. He kept prowling around the hull of that boat. He knew that there was gold there somewhere. He kept saying he'd find it any day now, his treasure.
And then Kane and Bowers started to drive a tunnel.
Yeah, Charlie knew it was going to meet head-on with the Granada, the old Spanish galleon he knew was there. It became a race against time.
That's why he got a job here. Did all he could to keep the tunnel from getting any farther.
Yep, and at night, every night, he'd go down to look some more. And I'd help him.
And today was his last desperate attempt to flood us out.
Yes, he wasn't going to see anybody get to his treasure as long as he lived. And he kept his word.
Well, Brooksy, here's the check from Kane and Bowers. That's all washed up. So what do you say we go out stepping tonight?
Oh, well, darling.
Hey, did you see the paper this morning?
No, why?
Well, they raised the Granada out of the river last night.
They did?
And there was a treasure chest, just as Charlie knew all along.
Oh, so old Charlie was right after all.
Yep, a chest packed to the brim with old Spanish coins.
George, how romantic.
Oh, yeah, but old Charlie wouldn't have been too happy about it.
No, why? No.
The whole batch was worth about $100.
Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West.
Let George Do It on Tuned To Yesterday from May 3rd, 1948 on the Mutual Don Lee Network. You're listening to an hour of mystery on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, to old-time radio fans, collectors, and researchers, it is no mystery that Bob Bailey, the star of Let George Do It, would be the most popular voice of yours truly, Johnny Deller, on radio, playing the role from 1956 through the middle of 1960. But before that, several actors assumed the character as America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator. Among them was movie star Edmund O'Brien. We'll hear him next in the Belo Horizonte matter on yours truly, Johnny Deller, from CBS, from July 6th, 1950.
Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Deller.
George Donnelly, Swanson Industrial, Johnny. Afraid we're having engine trouble.
Come again?
We got a substantial policy on the Belo Horizonte Railroad in Brazil. Both equipment and personnel. It's only a small road, but our losses in the past few months have been extensive.
What happened?
Four locomotives piled up in 2 months, 20 dead. We got a pair of conflicting reports. Looks like either insurance fraud or murder.
With my luck, George, it's probably both.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Edmund O'Brien in another adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Deller. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Deller to Swanson Industrial Insurance Corporation of Hartford. Attention, George Donnelly. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during investigation of the Belo Horizonte Railroad matter. Expense account item one, $500.38, transportation Hartford to New York to Rio de Janeiro. I found the executive offices of the railroad, all right. Avenue Graca Aranha, 392. But I didn't find the president, Mr. Benjamin J. Hulley. Reason? They'd taken him to the hospital that afternoon. A nurse at the Santa Maria told me that Benjamin Hulley had left strict orders that the minute I came in, I should be admitted to his room. I found him propped up in a bed. There was the smell of alcohol and boiled milk.
Ulcers. Peptic or duodenal, they don't know. Nobody knows. The end product of acid indigestion. Insurance? You'll have ulcers, too.
Probably.
It starts with heartburn, then the gnawing pain before meals. Then all of a sudden, you've got them. The disease of the businessman.
Hey, maybe we'd better postpone our talk for a while.
Now, what's the difference whether I think about it or talk about it? This way, I get it out of my system. Otherwise, it eats at me. Consider yourself a treatment.
Well, we'll cut it short.
I can give you a condensed version. Four locomotives, 20 dead. Yeah, but what am I giving you this for? You've got reports.
Two of them. One said accidental. The other said equipment had been tampered
with. Ridiculous. Accidental. How could it possibly be accidental? Four in 2 months.
Easy, Mr.
Four
Valley,
in two
no,
months.
Easy.
Listen to the facts. One engine caved in a wooden trestle over the Rio dos Valles. A trestle that had held up for almost a half century. Two dead. Only cabin tender, luckily. Could have been a freight. Another derailed at Bomb Despacho. Two more collided off a siding a few miles west of the port of Vittorio. Accidental, my foot. Who sent you the accidental report?
Myers, Henry Myers, foreman of the roundhouse at Belo Horizonte.
That stupid, moronic, idiotic, blundering fool.
Now you're going to pop something carrying on like this, Mr. Hulley. If you don't calm down, I'm going to get kicked out of here.
Don't treat me like a baby. I know what I'm doing. Now... I meant to write a personal letter to Mr. Donnelly, thanking him for the checks. They were prompt, very prompt. better companies to be complimented.
We'd rather be informed. Just what kind of a railroad do you run, Mr. Holly?
Manganese. Nothing but manganese. A little bauxite, but not enough to cover the bottom of a gondola car. Manganese is our load. And if you ask me, that's the trouble right there.
Where?
Peter Yarradan.
Who's Peter Yarradan?
He's beyond description, Mr. Dollar. The greediest, trickiest man I've ever known. I haul manganese for a competitor. At first, he tried to buy me out. I wouldn't sell. Then he used other methods. He spread vicious rumors about Belo Horizonte Railroad stock being worth it. It almost ruined me.
How about the crashes? Isn't there any evidence that someone tampered with the machinery?
No, none. Whatever proof might have existed would have been destroyed in the crash. Which is exactly why I suspect Yarradan. Why, with this railroad in his hands, he'd control the entire market down here.
Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time, Mr. Holly.
Mr. Dollar, I'm an old man. I've worked very hard. I started as an engineer with this railroad 25 years ago. Worked myself up to the presidency. Whatever this road is, I've made it. And I'd be everlastingly grateful if you'd put Yarradan just where he belongs, behind bars.
My job is investigation, not prosecution, Mr. Holly.
Take my word, Mr. Dollar. It's Yarradan.
Well, before I go any further, I'd like to talk to this Myers, the foreman in Belo Horizonte.
Yes, very wise. It's about 400 miles north. I'll have a car and driver waiting for you in the morning.
Sika. That is what my mother has named me. I do not know why. Perhaps after a pig or a cow. My mother named all her children after animals. It is what you might call nickname. Of course, nicknames are terrible things. They stick to you like paste. You like the way I drive?
Ah, you drive swell.
Swell?
Good, fine, great.
Oh, no, not that. The compliments are too much. Maybe fine, perhaps good, but not great. Why you go to Belo Horizonte, Mr. Dollar?
Business.
You're silly.
Hmm?
You're silly. You think you can keep your business from me? You think you're hiding something in the state of Minas Gerais? You're foolish to try.
Then why am I going to Belo Horizonte?
Your name is Johnny Dollar. You investigate people for an insurance company. You are here by the engine crashes. You are going up to see Mr. Myers, who worked for Mr. Holly. You will find nothing. Is that enough?
Where did you find out these bits of information?
Around the town.
How do you know I won't find anything?
A brilliant mind. A gift from my father, who also had a brilliant mind. Tell me, do I really look like a driver?
Why? What are you supposed to be?
This is merely a costume. I am in reality a poet, philosopher, a seventh son.
Say, can't you make this thing go faster, seventh son?
Americans. Through the mountains faster. You're crazy. That is why you make so much money, and that is why Americans have ulcers.
Yeah?
My name is Dollar, Mrs. Myers.
Yeah?
I'm from Hartford, Connecticut, insurance investigator. I'd like to talk to your husband, if I may.
He ain't here.
When do you expect him?
I don't know. Is it about the wreck?
That's right.
Well, I don't know if it'd be right to ask you in or not.
Well, it's up to you. I'm not from the police, you know.
I suppose it'd be all right.
Thanks.
He's shaving.
Oh, I got plenty of time.
Saturday Evening Post just come in from the States, if you'd like to see it.
Oh, fine.
And there's caramels on the table.
Never touched the stuff.
I'd like you to know, Mr.
Dollar.
Yeah. Well, I'd like you to know Henry don't know a thing about this business.
I just wanted to ask him some questions about the accident report he sent into our office.
He wrote what he's seen, and that was all he wrote.
I wouldn't be concerned, Mrs. Myers.
And no matter what anybody says, Henry had no more to do with the busted pins and them rods than the man in the moon. He checked before it went out of the yard, and he checked
Quiet.
Just before... Uh-oh.
Said enough. Get into the kitchen.
I didn't say nothing to him.
Go on.
I didn't say a thing.
She talks a lot. Dollar, did you see?
That's right.
She talks a great deal for a woman her age. Her parents let her gab all the time. Have a caramel?
No, thanks. What's this about busted pins?
Yeah, she mouths.
Come on, Myers. If you've got nothing to hide, there's no sense evading the questions.
The pins were sawed. Somebody, I don't know... I should have checked them before they left the yard, but I didn't.
That's why you reported the crashes as accidental?
All right, I was scared. A man gets scared for his job. How do you know about the busted pins? After the wreck, one of the guys told me.
You mean somebody knew the pins were broken and he let the engine leave the yards?
Yeah.
Who? Come on, Myers. Who?
You'll have to find that out yourself, Dollar.
You're in plenty of trouble, Myers.
I told you all I'm going to tell you. Now get out of here.
Okay. But if you change your mind, I'll be at the San Carlos Hotel.
I'll remember that.
The San Carlos. All day.
If you sit here in your room all day, Mr. Dollar, you do not have the benefit of the sunshine which plays so gently upon the soil.
I'm waiting for a call, Seeker.
Are you certain you would not like another game of Monopoly?
No, you won.
It's company, you are dull.
Sorry.
If it were not orders, I would go back home.
Yeah?
If I insulted you, would you fight with me?
Too tired.
Even if I call you a coward and a thief?
Names will never hurt me.
Well, if I...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Henry Myers, Dollar. Be over here in 5 minutes. I'll give you the stuff you want.
Don't move, I'll be there.
He was Myers?
He feels talkative. Come on, let's go.
How did you know he would call?
I didn't.
Then why were you waiting?
What else could I do?
The American mind. Shrewd.
Here. Let me over to the next corner.
All right.
And pick me up in about a quarter of an hour.
No. I'll go in with you.
All right. Come on, then.
What are you doing? I run so fast. Oh, my ain't Pete.
Pooped.
Pooped, Pete.
No answer.
Look. Look on the floor.
Myers. Looks like somebody had an earlier appointment.
He's still breathing.
Myers. Who did it, Myers?
Vita. Go to Vervita.
He's dead. What is Bervita?
Don't look at me, Seeker. I don't speak the language.
Somebody's coming.
It's Mrs. Myers. Come on, Seeker.
Oh, hello. What you been doing? Talking to Henry?
Don't go in there, Mrs. Myers.
Why not? I get poison oak or something? It's my house.
Don't, Mrs. Myers.
It's your husband.
What's the matter with him?
He's dead.
What?
Somebody shot him.
Let me in there.
Mrs. Myers, please.
Henry. Henry, I knew they'd do it. I knew they'd get him. I knew they'd get him.
Mrs. Myers.
I knew they'd get him. I knew they'd get him.
Mrs. Myers. Who, Mrs. Myers? Who would get him?
Yarodan. Wish I'd never heard the name. Yarodan.
Come on, Mrs. Myers. Now try to remember. What does the word mean to you? Vervita. Is it a town?
I don't know.
A mountain? A person? Oh, try, Mrs. Myers. Your husband must have mentioned the word here sometime.
Look, if I remembered, I'd tell you, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, the police probably Seeker called about half an hour ago.
Come in.
Mr. Taylor?
Wrong house, bud.
Oh, permit me to refer to my pad. Oh, D-O-L-L-A-R. Dollar?
That's right.
Oh, good. I was sent to pick you up.
Oh, really? By whom?
No trouble. I am properly armed. The woman and your driver will also come.
Better not argue, Mrs. Myers.
He's the same one who killed Henry. He must be.
Who's your boss, friend?
Yarodan, Mr. Dollar. Peter Yarodan. Now, Mr. Dollar.
How do you do, Mr. Dollar?
Mr. Yarodan?
Correct. Be seated, please. I will send my man for something cool.
Oh, thanks, but I'm not going to be here long.
You have faith in my tolerance, Mr. Dollar.
In your intelligence, Mr. Yarodan. A man of your reputation should know better than to play with guns.
At times, a man of my reputation has no choice. Ah, careful, Mr. Dollar.
Let's get to the point.
Very well. I hear that your investigation is not progressing very satisfactorily. I thought perhaps arrest might gain you a new perspective.
I doubt it.
Tell me, how is dear Mr. Hutton?
He's not so good.
Oh, shit. He tells so many tales that are untrue, he is lucky to be dying of natural causes. Something I hope I should be spared.
Just keep piling up that manganese, Mr. Yarden, and you won't have to worry.
Is Mr. Hulley telling that silly, silly story again?
If you mean the one about your wrecking locomotives and spreading false financial rumors, yes.
Oh, you don't really believe that nonsense, do you?
I'm not paid to believe anything, Mr. Yarden. I'm like an old hound. I just follow my nose.
That is not very complimentary.
You can take it for what it's worth.
I like you, Dollar. Business-minded, dogged, courage to the point of bravado. You would not consider taking a position with me at, let us say, three times your present annual income, would you?
Funny way to offer a man a job, Yarden. With one finger on the trigger.
Well, I would prefer to keep our relationship on this plane until I find out your position.
I'm afraid we wouldn't get along, Yarden.
You are probably right. And it is such a shame, Mr. Dollar. You could have gotten so much more per hour while you were still alive.
Yarden smiled, but this was his living room. He wouldn't do it here. In that small moment of silence, I tried to see everything within my field of vision without taking my eyes from Yarradin's face. There was the blur of something metal to my right, something that curved toward the ceiling, something a few inches from my hand. I reached out and pushed it over on top of him. The floor lamp landed on his chest, and the shot went wild. I threw my arms in front of my face and jumped out a latticed window. I landed about 10 feet down in Yarradin's rock garden, right in the middle of a clump of stubby cactus. I ran out through the open gate, and I didn't stop running until I found myself at the San Carlos Hotel. Expense account item 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, $30.59 miscellany to tie up the loose ends. For example, telegrams, one to Hulley, wishing him better health and asking him for a definition of the word Vervida. Two more to the police of Bom Despacho and Vittoria, requesting reports on the crashes. Another to the company in Hartford, gently hinting at foul play. I wrote a full report of my findings, including names, left it with the notary public at the hotel, and ambled casually back to the large house of Peter Yarradin. Hello, Bud. Well, don't just stand there with your teeth showing. Invite me in. Thank you. Now run to the study like a good little boy and tell your boss he has a caller. Hurry up now.
Put up your hands, Mr. Dollar.
Don't be silly. You don't think I'd come back here without adequate protection? Put that thing away.
Come with me.
Come in.
Mr. Yarradin, it's Mr. Dollar.
I'm back. Couldn't leave without getting an apology, Yarradin.
This is a surprise seeing you again. All right, Flash, you can go.
But, Mr. Yarradin, last time...
It is all right. I will be perfectly safe.
Yes, sir. I will be at the door.
You made a brilliant exit, Mr. Dollar. However, it is a shame I frightened you with my innocent conversation.
Fear comes in handy sometimes, Yarradin. It saved my skin a couple of times lately.
You have contacted the police?
Not about you.
You have come alone?
Alone.
You have a remarkable mind, Dollar. Do you think I can allow you to leave this house?
Not only leave this house, mister, but leave with some information.
Remarkable.
I filed a full report, complete with names, places, and time of day. If I'm not back to get that report in 2 hours, it goes to the police department.
And just where did you file this report, Mr. Dollar?
That's the little secret right there.
I am holding two friends of yours, you know.
I know.
I would exchange their lives for the report.
I'm sick of your offers, Yarradin. You're going to release Mrs. Myers and Seeker, and you're going to tell me all about the word Vervida.
How I wish I had a man like you working for me.
Vervida, Yarradin.
Of course, Vervida. But what you are really asking is, did I have any part in the railroad matter?
You can answer that one, too.
The answer is no. You don't believe me.
Go on.
The Belo Horizonte Railroad has been on the verge of bankruptcy for 2 years. But Mr. Benjamin Hulley is a very stubborn man. I have offered to buy him out 1,000 times.
And he'd rather sell to the devil.
I think he would. You see, the manganese fields in the Minas Gerais are owned by a competitor of mine. A small competitor, but a competitor. These fields are very valuable. At the rate of their present exploitation, however, they make little profit.
Small operation.
Exactly. If I had the fields, I could make them pay and pay very well. If I owned the railroad, I could boost the freight rates, force my competitor out of business, and take over the fields. But Tully refuses to sell, even at a large profit.
And the crashes?
They should be obvious, especially to you, an insurance man. The railroad is failing. So he is scuttling his equipment and getting the insurance money.
And Bervita?
Heh. If I could get to him, I would have all the information I need to put Tully where he belongs.
Okay, Aaron.
I sense something of disbelief in your tone.
There are other possibilities.
Oh.
Right now, I'll keep them to myself.
Dollar, I will give you $10,000 not to deliver your report.
I'm glad you made that offer, Aaron. That tells me a lot.
Tells you what?
That you've been giving me a nice mixture of fact and fancy. Now bring Sika and Mrs. Myers down here. We're going back to the hotel. Look, Mrs. Myers, whoever he is, wherever he is, his life's in danger. If you don't trust me, you better find somebody real fast, or Mr. Bervita is going to be dead.
Oh, they wouldn't kill him.
He's in somebody's way, or Yaradan wouldn't be that interested.
All right, all right. There was 20 killed in the four crashes, Mr. Dollar.
20 dead, that's right.
Yeah, and one injured.
Ah, a survivor.
The only witness.
Bervita.
Yeah, Bervita.
Where is he?
A small cabin in the mountains. I'm the only one that knows besides Henry, and Henry's dead. Bervita was fireman on one of the engines that crashed near Victoria. He saw somebody pull the hand switch, so the two locomotives was on the same track. The engineer put on the brakes, but not quick enough. Bervita jumped.
Thanks, Mrs. Myers. I think I'll have the notary mail that report on Yaradan to Hartford for safekeeping. And Seeker, my boy, we're going to pay our respects to Mr. Bervita. You stay here in the hotel, Mrs. Myers.
I want to know who killed my husband.
I'll give you that information when I get back. I'll contact Rio and have Mr. Hulley's secretary put through an authorization for a locomotive and engineer to take me up.
There's a dirt road, Mr. Dollar. Why don't you take a car?
No, I think the locomotive is much faster.
Seeker's right, Mrs. Myers. We'll go by rail.
Mr. Dollar.
Yeah?
Would you mind very much if I stayed here in Belo Horizonte? Wife and children, you know.
Well, I never would have put you down as having a family, Seeker.
Well, to tell the truth, I don't, but someday I hope to have.
Should be around the next curve. That must be the place. Up ahead. I won't be long. Keep the meter running.
My name is Dollar.
What do you want?
I want to talk to you.
Come in. Hands up.
Stay outside, Seeker.
But it's late at night. Wolves, foxes.
Stay outside.
What do you want?
I've come all the way up here to ask you a question, Mr. Bervita.
I won't answer anybody's question.
Even for Henry Myers?
What about Henry Myers?
They killed him.
Good. I'm glad they got him. As much as I hate them, I hate him worse. He was the one who sought the wheel pins. I'm glad they got him.
And who pulled the switch handle?
I'm not answering any questions. Go away. Go away or I shoot. Go away.
You gotta look out! Down the
door! Who is it, Seeker?
It's so dark, I couldn't see. He's running through the engine.
Get that light out. We'll make too good a target at the door.
Yes, come this way.
He's just guessing, Seeker.
Yes, but that was a good guess. I could hear it.
Come on, Seeker. Let's get down to that engine.
Oh, I wish I had a gun. I wish you had a gun. I wish one of the two of us had a gun. Hey, someone is climbing into the cab. The engine's on a hill. It will not take too long to start.
Look, he's dumped the engineer to the ground.
The engine is starting. We'll never get there in time. Stop! Stop!
He's going too fast. There's a curve up ahead.
They're much too fast.
Look. It can't make the curve.
There is nothing left of it, Mr. Dollar. Nothing but twisted pipe.
Look out. Don't touch it, Seeker. Most of it's still at boiling point.
There is no sign of anyone.
Yeah, but there was someone in that cab, Seeker. Must be a trace of them somewhere around here. Come on, let's keep looking.
But the boiler exploded. You think there is any part of a man in this bunch of wreck? You're crazy, Mr. Dollar. See?
Look, up there.
Where? You find something? Yeah.
There's a wallet. The outside's burned to a crisp.
But can you open?
Yeah, but I can't read the cut.
Wait.
There's one that isn't burned.
What does it say, Mr. Dollar?
It says, this certifies that the holder is a 25-year member of the Railway Engineers of South America.
And the name? What is the name?
Benjamin J. Hulley, late president of the Belos Horizonte Railroad. Here's the way it added up. Hulley had come by car. We found it just off the dirt road a mile down from Bervita's shack. The murder of Henry Myers remains an unsolved case. Police assume someone in the employ of Benjamin Hulley pulled the trigger, but I guess they'll never know for sure. Due to my report and public resentment against him, Yarradan was forced to leave the country. The Belo Horizonte Railroad is now in receivership, but it's still hauling manganese from the interior. I might say this was one case that had me stumped right up to train time. Expense account item 7, same as item 1, $500.38. Transportation to New York and Hartford. Expense account total, $1,492.54. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned 2 yesterday from July 6th, 1950 on the Columbia Broadcasting System. And that closes this hour of mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.